Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Author Joseph O'Connor, good morning.
Hello, Brendan. How are you?
And congratulations. So your book, The Ghosts of Rome, is the on-post Irish Book of the Year 2025. You look like a man who's still basking in the afterglow.
I'm just so overjoyed and honoured and thankful that The Ghosts of Rome has won this award. I've had dozens and dozens of texts from friends and hundreds of messages from readers through my website yesterday. And I'm just hugely grateful to all the readers up and down the land who've supported the book since it came out in January, and to the bookshops and the librarians and the reviewers and my lovely students of creative writing in the University of Limerick, where I teach, and to your good self. And your team here who supported the book right from the outset. So it's a lovely moment, and I'm delighted that The Ghosts of Rome has got the nod this year.
It's funny, like, even after all your international success, you've won loads of awards, even been feted by Richard and Judy down the years. This clearly means a lot to you, does it?
It does, and I mean, the ceremony itself, I must say, Brendan, was made very special for us at UL, because among the six finalists for the Book of the Year award this year was my former student, Grainne O'Brien, who won in the teen fiction category for her novel Solo, which is a fantastic book. So to be there on the night with one of your former students, it just made it a very, very special thing. My dad was there, my lovely sister Emer, and my beloved Anne-Marie. So it was a great night. But anyone who teaches will understand the very, very special significance of a moment like that. So I'm delighted for Grainne and her family and my UL colleagues. You know, it was a lovely moment.
And of course, it must have been hard for you working alongside Donal Ryan down in UL for the last year, when he had a Book of the Year award and you didn't.
So no, it wasn't. No, Donal's a lovely man. We're great pals and colleagues. Donal's extremely supportive and a very sound human, as well as being the very great writer that he is. But it's a special moment for our creative writing programme at UL, right enough. Like, Donal won it last year, I won it this year. So that doesn't happen very often. So we're thrilled.
Yeah, I bet. And you're working on the third book. It's the Rome Escape Line trilogy, I think, is the umbrella. And for people who don't know, the main protagonist is a real person, Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty, and he helped so many people to flee the Nazis in World War II. And he has an anniversary coming
up. Yes, it's I think I had a supporter among the judging panel who wasn't in the room. I think he might be up in heaven moving the few pieces around for me. Young Hugh O'Flaherty was ordained as a priest 100 years ago this month, on the 20th of September 1925, and he couldn't have known that he would end up saving 7,000 people from the Nazis.
7,000?
Yeah, with a very small group of extremely courageous and committed women and men who were just fearless and chose the moment to stand up and were able to say, there will be days when we can't save everybody, and there will be some days where we can't save anybody, but we will do what we can today. And I would just salute the magnificent courage and the spirit of resistance of Hugh O'Flaherty. He was an amazing man, and I feel very privileged to be spending this time as a writer with him. So the first book was My Father's House. As you know, it came out 2 years ago, then The Ghosts of Rome this year. And I'm just finishing the third part of the trilogy at the moment. I'm hoping to finish the last draft of that in January. And that's called Lost Waters. And the central character of that is a man called John May, who appears in the first two books. Yeah. He's a Cockney butler.
He's a butler. With a background in smoky jazz clubs.
Yes, it's a way of kind of connecting bohemian jazz scene of London in the 30s and 40s with Rome, with Dublin. So that'll be the wrap-up of the Rome trilogy. But again, I'm very, very grateful to the readers for all their support this year. I truly appreciate it.
And listen, you have an anniversary next week as well. You moved back to Ireland 25 years ago on Christmas week, didn't you?
Yes, we did, on the ferry, which was a very different experience. The ferry these days is lovely. It's a very relaxing delightful way.
Yeah, no pukes swilling around on the floor these days.
The ship has sort of stabilised. The very, very gentle hum of the engines as you cross the Irish Sea. It's like therapeutic. But back in those days, crossing on the ferry was a demanding, noisy, rather punk rock experience. So we came back at Christmas 25 years ago, and very happy to have done so. You know, I lived in London.
Yeah, what was the draw home?
Well, I lived in London for 8 years in the 1980s and loved it and still do love London. I'm married to a Londoner and both of our sons are living in the UK. But I think it was a very interesting time. Things were beginning to change in Ireland. Some of the old certainties were disappearing and there was a great sense of hope in Ireland at that time. And taken a bit of a battering, you know, over the years. But I think we're still very, very glad that we brought up our children here. I think it was a nicer, a more interesting environment for them. They're both great readers, which we didn't particularly push, but you know, that is such a lovely part of our culture. You know, it is the fact that Irish readers are among the best in the world, and there's an acceptance and a love and an affection for books here that's very, very genuine. And those were some of the reasons. And I noticed talking to the two lads now, there's some funny thing in the air about the Irish language going on at the moment, as you know. James, my son, said to me recently, he finds that if he meets another Irish lad in London now, he says, Conasatatu or Smisha James or whatever, you know. So it's very kind of healthy stuff happening around that in the culture. But yeah, with all of the caveats and all of the things that need to be improved in Ireland, and you know, we know what they are, I think it's still, looking around the world, it's still a wonderful country to live in.
Yeah, and this is from someone now who has, I always think a Christmas in New York looks magnificent. You lived in New York as well. You've had the Christmas.
We've had the Christmas.
You miss it at this time of year.
Yeah, we do, yeah. There was a, when my two were little lads, I used to take them to Bray on a Sunday morning where there was a couple of battered amusement arcades left, and it was rain swept and windy, but we spent many a Sunday morning out in Bray. Anyway, one Christmas we were in New York and we managed to get tickets for The Lion King on Broadway. It was very expensive and the popcorn was very expensive and the souvenir programs are very expensive. And because it was late, we had to get a taxi to take us home. The whole thing was really pricey. And I remember saying to James in the back of the car, well, did you enjoy that? Wasn't that a great Christmas treat, The Lion King on Broadway? And he said, yeah, but it wasn't as good as Bray. So, you know, it was a very special part of his childhood. And I even Christmas in New York couldn't quite live up to it.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. We're making memories at the times when we don't realise it. What are you up to for Christmas this year?
We're going away, Brendan, which we haven't really done before. We're going to Athens for a couple of days. Myself and Anne-Marie have never been there. And one of our lads is a classics student, so he's been there and he knows about it. So we're bringing our own in-house classics tour guide with us.
Fantastic. And self-reared tour guide. Well done. Joe, you're going to take us up to the Angelus with a poem, and it's called Solstice at Newgrange. Just set it up for us briefly before you read it.
Yeah, well, people will know what happens on the night, or the dawns around the solstice. The sun's journey through the passageway at Newgrange into the central chamber, and I think that connects with the fact that, you know, it's the darkest part of the year. Many, many culture seem to have a festival of lights. There's the Bethlehem story, which for Christians and for many people who aren't has such resonance. So this poem is really just a way of connecting those, and I'll read it to say thanks to you and thanks to all of the readers and everybody for their support this year.
Okay, Joe O'Connor, winner of the Irish Book of the Year. Well done again, and thank you so much, and in your own time, please.
Solstice at Newgrange. Dawn inches down the tunnel, a gold glint of light trailing the millennia in its wake. Over old graven runes, strange spirals, soul maps, gospels unknowable, lost testaments etched. The tomb gleams briefly, speaking of forever. Sheep bellow near the river from where the stones were fetched. Stone rhymes with pale sun in the womb of the fields as it's done for 50 centuries on the year's shortest day. Its promise of sacredness repeating in symphonies played by the rocks and the wet winter clay. And the wetlands of Mead sing a carol with the stars, hosanna of the planets as early cars pass, bringing travellers to work in a city full of windows, and mothers doing shopping pause by tinselled storefronts. A boy selling holly on Moore Street is laughing, and Advent cracks open in the chorus of a carol, beaten out by buskers on Aston Quay. Buckets full of change chink a rhythm of your childhood. God rest ye, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. And everything fake disappears for one instant. The fairy lights, the glitter, the things you couldn't buy. The neon delirium doesn't seem to matter. Christmas trees, heavy with shaggy aplomb, bow to a moment when the world was young. And the gold light retreats through the shadow of itself, the motes of dust moving and settling again. In a field in County Meath, the world is reborn, near a broken down stable where a homeless couple sleep. Cows raise their heavy heads, astonished by the dawn.